day. Sometimes I preach a Mother's Day sermon. Sometimes I don't. Today I am. So we'll be emphasizing and honoring our moms. There are biological moms, and there are those who have taken on the children and poured their lives into children, through foster care, through adoption, those types of things. And so when we look at the scriptures and look at moms, there are really more of an emphasis on the character than the actual biological dynamics. The character of a mom. So today I'd like to look at the godly characteristics of a Christian mom. Before we go there, let's open with prayer. Lord, we do ask that you would guide and direct in our time today as we're going to look to the scriptures to honor moms. We ask, God, that you would help us to defend the biblical principles, that we would stand true and we would stand clear in this gender neutrality world. We recognize that there are very clearly biblical roles and biblical instruction, and there is a privileged duty and responsibility for moms. Pray that the ones who are measuring up, that they would walk away encouraged. The ones who have violated your truth and are choosing not to submit to your leadership, that they would see what a mistake, what a wrong that is, and come back and trust your models, your principles, and your instruction for being a mother that would infuse godly, Christ-like principles into those under their care. We thank you so much for the role and for your blessing upon that role and for these ladies here today. Help us to honor them in a biblical way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God honoring mothers. First of all, as you go through the scriptures, God honoring mothers, I'd like to highlight the point that they are characterized by prayer. God honoring mothers are characterized by prayer. Praying moms are used to accomplish much in the world, and I believe we won't realize how much until we get the other side of heaven. That prayer and the power of prayer is vital to being a godly mom. Ian Bounds states here, human nature wants to sail to heaven under a favoring breeze, a full smooth sea. Prayer is humbling work. It abases intellect and pride, crucifies vainglory, and signs our spiritual bankruptcy. And all these are hard for the flesh and the blood to bear. It is easier not to pray than to bear them. In other words, prayer is humility. You have to recognize that you are in desperate need to accomplish anything of eternal value. And a godly mom is a mom that is recognizing that she is inept to do it. You're not able to accomplish it. But by prayer, God will give you wisdom. God will give you strength. The prayer of the righteous accomplishes much. So when we're looking at that qualifies prayer, obviously we're saying a godly mom is used because she is humble and because she is living right. She's living according to the scriptures. No such thing as a perfect mom. There's no perfect moms out here. But there are godly moms here. And they are worthy to be held up as an example for us to rally behind, for us to honor, for us to set them forth to be a model for those who are younger. So moms, if the Holy Spirit convicts you today to get involved in more prayer, to humble yourself more, great. But the point is, I really want to identify you and applaud the fact that you are doing the work of a godly mom. The scriptures clearly exalt the power of prayer and the priority of prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Praying always. Godly moms are praying always. They truly are. And usually it's praying always about who? Their kids. Exactly. Their kids and their grandkids. And, it's there all the time, right? And you were concerned for them. And you're realizing, God, if you don't do a work, then there's nothing that can be done. And so they are praying always. Psalm 5:3, my voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. And will look up. I won't look to my strength. I won't look to my family for that strength. I will begin the morning by looking up. Where are you looking, moms, when you get out of bed in the morning? Are you looking up to the Lord for strength, for wisdom? Godly moms realize that their source of power, insight, wisdom, steadfastness, strength is from the Lord above. Psalm 143:8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. There are many challenges. Many, many things are asked of moms. The sacrifices moms make are beyond really their ability to do so. And with a godly person, mom in this case, reaching out to the heavens early in the morning, start your days with prayer. Recognize that the day started in prayer will probably continue in the power of God and therefore will be productive. I had a young lady come to me yesterday, and this young lady came to me saying, the demands on my life right now are too much. I can't handle it. I want to quit. I can't do this. I can't do that. And the character of a godly mom isn't, well, I had these kids, but I want to quit, so therefore I'm going to sleep in this morning. Therefore I'm not going to answer to the cry of the baby. Therefore I'm not going to make a meal today because I'm just tired and I'm sick. And how many breaks do moms get? Zero. Yeah, that's right. What is it my wife used to say? A man's work is from sun to sun, but a mother's work is never done. Is that how it goes? Yeah. Well, I let her away with that, because you know what? Godly men, our work is never done either. Right? We are to be praying always too. We are to be concerned. We are to be... But it's recognized that the demands on a mother are 24/7. They really are. Get up in the middle of the night, except for my wife got up in the middle of the night most of the time. There was one thing she wouldn't get up for. She wouldn't get up alone for. And that is if the children were sick and the floor was being washed with stomach fluids. That was my job. That was a dad job. But many, many hours. The kids, as they went into their teen years. Now, I would come home, and the kids would be staying out a little bit. Oh, Heather and Shannon aren't really too notorious for terrible things, but I would go to sleep. It's like, I'm laying down, and it's like, the kids are gone. Well, what am I going to do? Well, they're gone. I'm going to sleep. What do you think I'm going to do? Sleep. No, no, no. Moms don't sleep when the kids are out, do they? No, no, no. Until they get back in, it's prayer time, and Lord, please keep them safe, and please keep them from making any stupid decisions, and those friends, make sure they're good friends. And when they finally come home and they're in bed, now mom can go to sleep. Right? Mom's job is a demanding job, a biblical role which God has placed you in. By the way, it's a high call. It's one of great respect and great honor. Society would like to mock barefoot and pregnant. They do. But you're accomplishing nothing. And yet, it is one of the greatest, highest roles of the Scripture. To be a mom and to be a keeper of the house. To manage the home well. And the CEO of the home. I don't like it when my wife is gone, because all of a sudden dishes start piling up, and all of a sudden clothes start piling up. All of a sudden the bills aren't getting paid. All of a sudden the home management CEO, you know, I'm over here managing this ministry. And praise the Lord, I can be free to manage this ministry because I know my wife is managing the home. My wife is the one that knows what the bills are. And I'm glad she does. And she pays them. The CEO of the homekeeper, though society wants to demean it and make it look, God doesn't. God exalts it very high. And it is in desperate need. Our society today, single moms who are not really at home and able to raise their children. Their children are being sent off to daycares. And every once in a while you get a nice, wonderful daycare. But that's a risk, isn't it? Having somebody else raise your children with their values, their input. And it's not God's design. God's design is that they would be at home, keepers at home, and teaching and instructing their children. Prayer is the vital energy connection to being able to do that. Notice a lot of your prayers in the Scriptures are identifying in the morning without ceasing, and then in the evening. So the point is, it should be as natural as talking to your husband, talking to your children, talking to anyone. But prayer should be as natural as your breathing. Psalm 55:17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Godly moms believe it and practice it. Luke 6:12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to the Lord. I have witnessed my wife pray all night while I was sleeping. I'm like, all right, Lord, cast all your care upon me. Here it is. And I go to sleep. Wake up in the middle of the night. What are you doing? I'm praying. I am wrestling with my heart towards my children. Praise the Lord for that. So with the godly women within the Bible who showed their prayer life, Hannah in 1 Samuel 1:13. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunk. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit, have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. She was granted her prayer, the answer to prayer. We recognize Hannah as being godly, but one aspect of her godliness was her prayer life. She went to the Lord and trusted the Lord, heard her, and relied upon the Lord. Godliness. Mary, in Luke 1:46, the song of Mary. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of this handmaid. For behold, from henceforth in all generations shall come and call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. her exaltation in prayer. Elizabeth, Luke 1:6. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they were both, and they both were well stricken in years. Verse 13. But the angel said unto them, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. These women were characterized by prayer. Are you? All of us should be. But it is doubly important for moms, because you carry such a position of great influence. And you can be either a stepping stone to great maturity in your children, a stepping stone to godliness for those you are influencing, or you can be a stumbling block. And one way to ensure that you are a stepping stone is to maintain that godly spiritual practice of prayer in the morning, as you go in the evening. God-honoring mothers are characterized by living by biblical principle. They're characterized by living by principle, not emotion. Now, all moms are well endowed with emotion. That's okay. But they are not ruled by those emotions. They're ruled by biblical character. They are women who seek to instill principles into their children. In Titus 2:3, the aged women likewise, that they, in behavior as becoming holiness, be not false accusers. Do not be given to wine. They are to be teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God would not be blasphemed. So here you might want to say these are godly grandmothers, because at this time they're teaching the younger. They're godly grandmothers. They're teaching the younger that, look, you need to honor your husband, respect him, love him. You need to be doing well at keeping at home. You need to be, here it is, obeying your husbands. That's a hard one. And only, you know, if the male preacher here keeps telling you women, obey your husbands and be good keepers at home, what do you get to call me? A male chauvinist pig. That's just your perspective. You're a man. Obviously, you're going to say those things. Keep them women in their place. But when a godly woman comes and says, oh, hon, you need to obey your husband. Hon, you're going to just ruin it if you do not stay at home, invest in your children. Don't be a gossip. Don't be going around town just talking about everybody. Especially don't be going around town talking about your husband in the negative light. All these practical insights then become wisdom. Wisdom. Especially in this society, when society is throwing out the biblical principles. Be keepers at home. Be obedient to your husbands. Why? That the word of God will not be ridiculed, made fun of, mocked. Women, if you say you're a Christian and you refuse to walk in obedience to the word of God, and you refuse to honor and follow your husband when he is not going against the scriptures, your Christianity is a mockery to the word of God. It's a mockery. And the older grandmas, you should have practiced it long enough so that you with confidence can go to those younger women and say, hey, it's tough at times to obey, but it's always right. I am so thankful after all these years that I followed my husband and didn't fight him. thankful for all these years. Well, he's not even a Christian husband. Some of you may be in a home where you're not married to a Christian. And you are learning to follow and honor a man who's maybe even asking you to do things you would never want to do, but they're not direct sin against the Word of God. You would rather go up and give a week of camp, volunteering at camp, and he's saying, no, we're going to go on a trip to, I don't know, whatever your imagination brings. The priorities are different. And what does the Word of God say? Honor your husband. Choose to follow him. Yeah, but he doesn't have the priorities I think God should have, want him to have. Yeah, but don't you think the Scriptures knew that when it put those principles in? Well, sure. So, godly grandmas, we need your teaching. We need you. Because if I get teaching this stuff, you're just a man. You don't understand. But if you will do your job and be the godly grandmas, and you will exalt being keepers at home. There's a lot of women that say, you know what? I'm going to go to work and I'm just going to help my husband and we'll have children and we'll keep an income level that's very very comfortable, and I will ship my kids out to daycare. I'm telling you, that's biblically wrong. Well, what about when they get older and I'm not going to homeschool my kids, I'm going to send them to public school? Well, that's your choice. You know what? There's many, many countries, they don't have the option of homeschooling their children. If you have the option of homeschooling your children and you want to make that sacrifice, and you can do it in our free country, amen for that. But do not make it biblical. Do not say it is the only way you can do it. That is unbiblical to say that. But when your children are at home needing supervision, mom should be there. Needing instruction, mom should be there. That's what it means to be a keeper at home. Managing the home is the first priority. If you can get a side job, or you can bring your job into the home, like some creative moms have done. Daycare, right, Monica? Daycare, right? There's kids jumping out of every window every time I come down to your house. Well, okay, that's fine, but your priority is take care of your children. Nobody's going to love your children as much as you love them. Nobody's going to know your children as well as you know them. And God gave you the responsibility. And godly moms take care of their own children. They don't hire it out. They make the sacrifices that are needed. Paula and I lived on single income so Paula could stay home and be with the children. And we have no regrets. None. On that call, we have no regrets. Did we just have bread and butter a couple weeks here and there? Sure. Did we not go on the vacations these other families went on? Oh, we're going 2 weeks to Disneyland. I'm like, I'm looking for enough gas money to finish the week. How are you doing that? Well, because our priorities were a little different, right? But we don't have a regret, because my wife was a godly mom. She recognized the priority. She chose to make the sacrifices. There were times when she would work on the side. She would never give up her primary responsibility to supervise, nurture, and invest in her children. And I want to thank her for that. And you, younger women, please learn to live off of one income. Before you have children, fine. You can both be working, but budget in a way which all of what she makes goes in the bank or something. It's not a part of living off your rent. Budget off of one income. Why? Because when she has children, you're not dependent on that second income, and she can be home to raise the children.
encourage you.
Oh, what about when the children get older? Yeah, the children get older and they're off to school and you're working while they're off to school. Okay. Remember the qualifier I said? When the children are home needing supervision, Mom, you got to be there for them. Send them to public school? Well, that frees you up or gives you this freedom to be able to... I understand that. And, you know, some of you moms are homeschoolers, right? Paula was a homeschooler, public schooler, internet schooler. She did it all. Or tried it all, I mean. Some of you only homeschooled your kids. Some of you only sent your kids to secular school. That's not the issue. That's a family decision. You figure it out. The issue is this. When the children were home, Mom, be there for them. Godly moms, grandmas, we need you to be teaching this. 1 Timothy 5:14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. Oh, that is so chauvinistic. That is so arrogant. That's just keeping them under. No, that's the Word of God. God puts the priority on motherhood, not career. God puts the priority on motherhood, not career. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. Give no occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. 1 Timothy 5:9. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Listen to what qualifies her to be supported by the church. Well reported for good works, if she have brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she's diligently followed every good work. Back then they were being instructed that if you have a widow that has no income, no way to take care of herself, number one, if there's family, the family is to take care of her. But if she's a widow indeed, meaning no family to take care of her, well then it's not just any widow, it's the widow who was a godly woman. And what was the definition of a godly woman? She raised children. Doesn't necessarily mean raised her own children, but she invested in the lives of the little ones. How many of you have done foster care? I know we've got foster care back here. Paula and I have done foster care. There's foster care. We know what it means to raise kids that aren't your own, right? It's an investment, but you can pour your heart and love into those. Well, I can't have children, therefore I'm not going to... Well, there's plenty of foster kids. There's plenty of adoption. Moms, God has designed you to pour your heart and soul into children. And those who cannot, I understand. The other implication is moms are married. Right? Moms are married. These are wives. You are to do this. What about single women? Single women are given much greater liberty as to where they can go and what they can do. There's great freedom in being single. So, ladies, you want to be single and serve the Lord single? Great. But if you don't, you choose to be married, recognize your first priority. You love your husband, you support your husband, and you raise a family to the honor and glory of God, if God gives you that blessing. And if He doesn't give you of natural birth, then you need to be influencing children and consider foster care, consider adoption. What a concept. But that's the priority God puts on. We're not manufacturing this. This is the Word of God. So, foster care and adoptive parents, I applaud you. You know what they say about adoptive parents? Don't adopt because the children will get angry in their teen years and they'll reject everything you taught them. The chances of those children raised and being good kids, they're Christian kids, they're accepting the Lord, are zero to none, so you really shouldn't do it. That's a bunch of baloney. We don't know the hearts of a child because we can't read the heart, but you still get 15 to 20 years to invest biblical truth into that child. So, adopt away. Go for it. You know what? We have three children. And we put the same godly principles into our three children, and two are living for the Lord and one is not. So, well, and she's not adopted. Is she? No. Joke. Okay? The point is, each individual child is going to make their choice when they become adults. Our responsibility, moms, your responsibility is to nurture them and guide them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You can't produce results, but you can invest in the soul of the people. And that's what God gives you. That responsibility, privilege. So, as we continue on, this widow has to be bringing up children, lodged strangers, hospitality. She was reaching out. In other words, she had a heart to minister to people. Moms, godly moms, have a heart to minister to people. They're not building their horse farm, their pet farm. They are finding ways to invest in people, because the only thing that's eternal is the souls of men. How are you doing, moms? How are you investing in the souls of people? Older women, we're to be teaching our younger women to invest in the souls of people. First, their home. First in priority. Invest in the home. Second is your church family. Invest in the people, the souls of the church family. We bring little ones in here that need a little more extra attention and love. Are you finding time? Will you invest in those lives as they come into this church ministry, who have broken homes, have no biblical instruction, who are starving for love and attention? Are you ready to nurture them as they come through the door? You single ladies, can we give you an adopt a child? You know, they got the big brother, big sister programs. You know what? The church is a big brother, big sister program. If our women are godly, they will naturally want to invest in the welfare of other people, and especially children. God has put it within them. Proverbs 31. I know every woman loves it when a pastor gets up there and preaches Proverbs 31. The superhero woman. Like, no woman feels she measures up to Proverbs 31. You read down that, it's like, whoa. I just walk away feeling like a failure. Well, we're not going to exegete the whole Proverbs 31, but I am going to emphasize something here. Proverbs 31, 26. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well for the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. That's a godly mom. Looketh well to the ways of her household, and is not lazy. Now, our children didn't have the right to say, I'm bored. That was a welcome, wasn't it, Shannon? Go ahead and say you're bored. What am I going to do? Well, we're going to take care of that. Chore time! Well, there's dishes. Well, there's laundry. Well, you can clean the room. Oh, you can mow the lawn. I got all that done. I'm still bored. Okay, let's find you a job. You got to learn to work at some point in time. And Heather, Shannon, got the job. I think working at the Chinese restaurant. Very interesting adventure, but it introduced them to the working world. The point being that moms are not idle. They don't sit around watching soap operas, chewing bonbons, chocolate candy. She don't know what bonbons are. All right. That's not what they do. They get up in the morning, they're praying, God help me. All the things I got to do today, I can't see me getting them done. And then they get out there and they do and they do and they do, and they invest in the lives of others. That's what godly moms do. And I know some godly moms out here. I don't know any perfect moms, but I can without hesitation say that my wife's a godly mom. Even after the kids are gone, guess what she's doing? I mean, I think I'm getting a break and I'll get a little more attention from my wife. And I do. I get a little more. But man, I can't believe how much attention is still consumed on those boys. Girls. Because she takes on the son-in-laws like sons. Because that's what mothers do. Amen? Investing in her family. A keeper at home. Because God made it the greatest priority, and godly moms make it the greatest priority. What a blessing, huh? So grandmas, please keep encouraging our younger women to keep the priority, the priority. And if you didn't do it, I say this to divorced people. When you're a part of our church, divorced people have a place in this church. We love you. We want you to know that those scars of life, we understand God forgives you of it. And you get a restart, and you got to do the best you can with what you have. But this is what I ask of divorced moms and dads, is support me when I promote no divorce. When I promote, you work it out and you stay together. Support me in that. Just because you didn't, doesn't mean you can't encourage people to do it. So just because you did not make staying at home, raising the children, the highest priority in your life, doesn't mean you couldn't learn from it and you can't help others to make that choice and make the sacrifices. Because I'll tell you what, secular society is going to tell you that if you get married now, you cannot live off a single income. You cannot do it. You have to go to work. They're going to tell you that. Guess what? We go by God's word. And the priority is if you have children, you better be home raising your children. Until, okay, well, what about when they get in school? Well, at least the first 5-6 years, if you're going to use public school, and then work while they're in school, be there for them when you get home. Why? Because what's the first priority? Keeper of the home. And it's kind of CEO, manager of the home is the idea. Godly moms, thank you for doing it. Grandmas, please encourage your younger moms to keep doing it. And if they're not doing it, encourage them that they can do it. You won't have all the nice toys. You won't have all the nice vacations. But you'll have something that nobody can take away. A life with no regret. That you made God's priority your priority. And for the moms who are here and you know that you fit the godly mom, you would never say it about yourself, but you know that that was you and that is you. Just receive the honor. Thank you. Take a little bit of comfort in you did it right. You didn't do it perfectly, but you did it right. Keep doing it. And then start teaching the younger to do it also. Because we're the only voice anymore that's saying it. And we need our elderly women, our godly women, to celebrate it and teach it to our younger generations. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity we had just to honor moms. We ask God that you would give us...